Sorry about that. All right.
Well, how amazing is it to be back here? Wow. You know, I can say this. You have taken serious the word, be fruitful and multiply in this church. When I saw all the kids up here, I'm like, wow. There's a lot of multiplying happening here. Okay. It's good to be here. My name's, like you heard, my name's Jeremy, and some of you, you may or may not know me. I grew up here, as Chris said, it's always good memories to come back to Pagosa, see familiar faces, and, you know, I just, I think about the things that God's done in this community, in this room, and over the years. It's just so amazing, and I look forward to what God is stirred on my heart and seeing how we're going to kind of just jump in the river with God and just enjoy what he has for us this morning. But, I left here, like Chris said, in 1999 to go off to YWAM, or Youth with a Mission, over in Brisbane, Australia. And it's pretty fun. I now have 5 children, and one of my kids, the second oldest, she's doing her discipleship training school in Brisbane right now. And my son's there as well, helping out with the school. And so it's been pretty amazing. So, but I went over to Brisbane, Australia, I did my DTS, and then I came back here to Pagosa, and I started to pray. I said, God, what's next? What's the vision? And this morning, I want to share with you about vision is attractive. Okay, I don't usually have titles to my messages, but today I do. So consider yourself lucky, blessed, because it happens once every 100 times. People always make up the titles for me. But I really felt like sharing this morning about vision, and that vision is attractive. And I remember coming back here, and I was just praying, saying, God, what do I do next with my life? And I knew very well that God was calling me into a full-time ministry capacity, but I didn't know the details. And as I started to seek the Lord, there was a major earthquake, as many of you know, over in Turkey, and I left pretty quickly to go help with that. And as I was there, God started giving me more details about the future. And part of that journey took me to Brisbane again to do some more training with Youth with a Mission. And because I just come back from there, everybody knew me, and I filled out my application form. And on the application form, it said, what is the vision for the future? Or what is your vision for the future? And a lot of people knew me, so I wrote my vision for the future, 5'10", blonde Norwegian girl. And I happened to meet a 5'10" Norwegian girl on that DTS, or she was doing her DTS. It's my wife, if you don't know. You'll see in the back there, this is our family, and this is my wife. She's not naturally blonde, I have to say, you know, full disclosure. And thanks to live stream, we are going to be in trouble when we get home. Hey, Matthias. That's awesome. Thank you, tech crew. Okay. That's cool. But, you know, it's really, it just kind of makes me chuckle and laugh when I think about God and I think about vision. And here was just something just real lightheartedly I wrote. And, you know, I remember the school leader, when he read my application, he laughed out loud in the office when he read what my vision for the future was. And, I think it's so interesting how God is and how he puts things in our hearts and how he just loves to partner with us. And so I want to share a bit about vision this morning, because it's very attractive. Vision is very attractive. I was thinking about this week. It was pretty weird, but I met my wife, but we did not start, because in YWAM, you know, when you're on your DTS, you're not supposed to date, right, Chris? Yeah, you're not allowed to, well, some bases might, but we weren't allowed to date. But, you know, beauty's beauty, and you can't deny seeing beauty, you know. So there was attraction and there was a desire, but we never pursued a relationship. But anyway, other girls that were on staff there, now the staff, you know, it's like you can't tell the staff, you know, you're never going to, you know, anyway, not being controlling, but on our discipleship training school, we want people to come and engage with God and set that aside and say, God, I'm here wholeheartedly for you, and just learn what it is to make Jesus Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I'll trust you in all areas of my life. But when you're on staff, you know, you're now like, all right, I've walked this season of understanding that, And we had these girls, well, I don't know who they were, but one of my leaders came up to me and said, Jeremy, do you find any of the, do you want to have a relationship with any of the staff girls here? And I was like, no, I'm not interested. And she's like, well, we've had five girls come up and say, you're their man. They feel like God is leading them to you. And I was like, wow, well, four must be wrong. Unless God's doing something that I don't fully understand. And I laughed because I'm like, well, this isn't usually my problem in life. But there was something that was different in my life. And that was I had vision. God had called me to Turkey. And I was in this YWAM world bubble, maybe you could say. And I had this vision to go to the nations. I had this vision to go serve God. And that's the only thing I can think of is like, well, maybe all these girls were attracted because of the vision that God had put into my heart. You know, and anyway, none of those girls were my wife. She did have attraction, but we eventually got married. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. It's a long story. But, as I think about vision, you know, I work with Youth with a Mission. It's now 26 years. We've started ministries around the world. And in Youth with a Mission, we don't pay anybody. I don't know if you noticed that. We don't give anybody a paycheck. You know, there's no benefit. You know, there's no, like, secret retirement fund that's just really awesome out there one day that you get to cash in on. But we all follow God and we trust God. And it's really interesting because as we have this as a core value of just trusting God for our finances. And so when I, you know, have young people and older people who want to come serve with me, I can't give them a paycheck. I can't give them, you know, any promise. The only thing I can share with them is vision. The only thing I can say is this is what I've heard God, this is what's in my heart, and this is where I'm headed. And if you want to come be a part of that, you can be a part of that with me. And it's amazing to see young people come and want to serve with you and give their lives for the vision that God has put before you. It's attractive. I remember we've just moved to Melbourne since the last time we were here. We were on our way to moving to Melbourne, Australia. And we're starting a new YWAM. I'm getting a lot of feedback. Am I in the wrong spot or is that just normal? Okay. Unless I'm just getting old and it's ringing in the ears. Okay. No, but you know, we are down in Melbourne, Australia, pioneering a brand new YWAM work there. And we had this young man come. He wanted to join us on our staff team, on our ministry team there. And he comes to me very excited. And he's like, hey, I want to join you. And I was like, cool, you know, that's great, you know. And he interrupted me. I was watching football. It was like Friday night, so it was Thursday night football over in Australia. And it's like 10 o'clock at night. He comes to my house to tell me, I'm going to come join you. I was like, cool, that's great. I said, well, you pray about it. You consult with your leadership, you know, your leadership people. And yeah, if you want to come, we'd love to have you. And it was kind of funny because the Lord kind of checked my heart not to encourage him too much because we're pioneering, and pioneering's hard. It's tough. And it can be exciting, and people want to say, hey, I'll come do that because it's very exciting to go start a new ministry and get new things. But I'm like, well, you got to hear God. You need to have a conviction in your heart. Because you know what? After 4 weeks, you're going to find it hard. In 6 weeks, you're going to find it harder. In 7 weeks, you're going to hate it. 8 weeks, you're going to cry to go home. But you got to have a conviction in your heart that the Lord's put you here and he's called you. Well, God's called him to come be with us. And we laugh now because he's like, you were the least enthusiastic recruiting, you know, conversation I've ever had. I said, well, yeah, you need to know God. You need to know that God's called you and put you in this place. So vision is a powerful thing. You know, we see in you know, I remember the scripture, Proverbs chapter 29, you know, I learned it in the King James, and the King James says, you know, without vision, people perish. I think we were familiar with that. Oh, wow, I closed my notes here. That's good, Jeremy. Sorry, I'm in a little conversation with myself. The King James says, where there is no vision, people perish. The NLT says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, but whoever obeys the law is joyful. How awesome. You know, and I think about vision, and it's just like, you know, when I think about that, you know, where there's no vision, people perish. You know, and I think of it in two ways. In a sense, is like our relationship with God. If I don't have vision in my life, you know, if I don't keep the vision clear in my life, if I don't keep focused on the vision that God has, it's easy to kind of, well, you know, lose discipline. You know, it's easy to be like, you know, well, God, if I lose vision, you know, do I want to get in the Word as much? Do I want to pray as much? Do I understand my assignment? And it's just like your vision is so important for you, because if you don't keep vision in front of you, you start perishing in a way. But it's not just us, it's also others. Because if you don't have vision, you don't think of other people enjoying the freedom and the goodness of who our God is. You know, Matthew 28:19, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age." As Christ, you know, that was Christ commissioning the church for what its assignment was to do. It's to make disciples. Amen. I love making disciples. You know, Chris was talking about my relationship with Al DeBoer, and I love how he was so much involved in my life as a young man. You know, didn't give up on me in my failures and in my weirdness and my rebelliousness or whatever it would be. You know, he fathered me and he walked with me and he championed me to where here I am now 26 years later preaching the gospel all over the world. I'm like, I love Colorado. This is a great spot. Why would you ever want to leave? But when the king comes to you and says, "You have an assignment, go into all the world and preach the gospel," it's like, wow, yes, Lord. And that's been awesome, and it's been a beautiful journey, and we've loved it. And, you know, it's been tough at times, it's been challenging at times, but you know what? We are thrilled and we are happy because we see that Jesus is alive. See, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, I'm going to keep hitting it a little bit, but at the very end of it, see, we get so caught up in sometimes of the details of what God might have for our lives that we miss the heart of God. We miss our heart responding to the king. I remember when I was a young person and I started wrestling with this call of being a missionary. I was afraid to answer the call to be a missionary. And there was a lot of warfare against my life. You know, the enemy was doing it. But to be honest, the whole reason I was afraid to say yes to God to be a missionary was I was afraid he'd call me to Mexico. Now, I love Mexico. But I had a challenge. It's frustrating how the enemy works in our lives. When I was 8 years old, or something, younger maybe, my mom and dad, we were going to go somewhere. And we had beans for dinner and ate lots of beans. And then I took seconds. And my mom and dad were of the generation, "You finish your food before you leave the table." So I ate all these beans and I got sick to my stomach to where if I ever saw beans, I'd just get nauseous and want to throw up. And I was always afraid that God would call me to Mexico because they have a lot of beans in the diet. And I was like, oh, if God calls me to go to Mexico, I'm just going to be sick all the time because I'm going to have to eat beans. Now, I'm sorry, that was... For those of you, this was pre-Google, okay? The world, we were very isolated back in the day, okay? I don't even know if we had, I don't even remember going to a Mexican restaurant as a kid. Like, it's just a different generation. So please don't hate me. Please don't send hate mail to me. But it was just the generation we were in. And I was so afraid. And, you know, I find so many times people are afraid to engage in the call of God because some of these little details. And we're afraid to say yes to God because we're afraid, like, he's going to call us and make us suffer. We forget that this book is testimony after testimony of his goodness and his greatness and his love for us. And so many people are afraid to position their heart and say, "Yes, Lord," because they think God's just going to call them to suffer. And we actually run. We actually run from wanting to hear what God would say because we're like, "I don't want to hear what he has to say." We don't say it that way, but it's what we're saying. It's what we're communicating. It's what we're conveying to God. And we kind of like shut down our ears, you know, and like as I was a young person, it's like I look back at it now and it's like I've been to Mexico. I love Mexico. I can eat beans again. You know, it's just like, but it's funny how like the enemy just messes with your head. And I was just so nervous that if I said yes to God, I would love to go to Mexico. Man, it's a beautiful spot, beautiful culture. But, you know, I was just wrestling with God to say yes because of that little detail, which is so insignificant when the king is saying, "Jeremy, there's a call for you. Jeremy, there's a vision for you." See, my responsibility as a son is to do this. You bow before the king and you position your heart and say, "Yes, Lord." It's funny how God takes us all over the world and does all these amazing things. I just laugh. I don't have this much. I don't have too much time to go into all the stories, but you know. But I want to share with you this morning. Like, let's position our hearts. I love that story of Isaiah chapter 6 where he sees the throne of heaven, and he just hears, "Who will go?" And the response is, "Here am I, send me." And this is, I think it was a loud shout. I think it was a loud cry from Isaiah's heart because he saw the Lord and he wanted to please the Lord. You know, and I just want to encourage you this morning that you would position your heart and say, "Lord, I want to have vision for the things that you have." See, as Christ commanded the church, or as he commissioned the church and to go into all the world and preach the gospel, you know, it's like, I find everybody gets hung up on, and even as I speak now, it's like, you know, there's probably some of you like, "Well, Pagosa Springs, part of the world?" Absolutely. Yeah, Pagosa Springs, part of this world. So find your mission, find your vision for this place. See, you know, I look at Romans chapter 8, you know, it says, "The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in you." So the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that did the greatest miracle on the face of this earth, is living in you. Because of the new covenant. Because of the new covenant, the Spirit of God is living in you. Okay, you should look at somebody and go, cha-ching. Come on, think about that. We read the Bible and it's like, "Oh, if we could just be around when Jesus was around." He's around. He's living in you. He's living in you, and he's calling you to go bear fruit. He's calling you to bring people into the kingdom. He's calling you to go heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers. So, like, what are we holding out for? What are we waiting for? It's often the vision. Because we don't have vision for his kingdom. We have vision for our kingdom. It's kind of like, remember Joshua when he encounters the angel of the Lord? He's walking, he's like, "Hey, are you for them or are you for us?" "For the Lord." He's for the Lord, the angel is. And see, so many times we're trying to figure out what's God's kingdom, and then it's like we're trying to serve our kingdom. Let go of that kingdom. There's a kingdom. There's the kingdom. And that's what we want to pursue, and that's what we want to have vision for. You know, so as I think about vision and vision being attractive, you know, I remember years ago, and there's a man in our mission, a great Bible teacher. His name's Dean Sherman, and he taught us about prayer. And he said, the more detailed you get in prayer, the more faith you're exercising. And I thought about that. It's like, yeah, you know, you start praying, "Oh God, we pray for Pagosa. Would you do something?" Well, that's very vague. He's always doing something. The sun came up, or it didn't come up, you know, we rotated. You know, like, it's a great day. God's doing something. But think about as you start to activate your prayer, "God, may I be a light in my business." Okay, God says, "All right, let's look for these opportunities. Hey, God, I'd like to lead my neighbor to the Lord." Perfect, let's start building this relationship. And God starts leading you. See, as you start making your prayers more detailed, the more faith you're starting to exercise. You've seen that in prayer. You start praying stuff out, and you're like, "Oh, that's a lot of faith. God, I hope that comes out." Or you get a little bit of a declaration. But see, I find vision is very similar. The more detailed we start to make our vision, the more faith we start exercising in our vision. And it's not our vision, because really our hearts start to align to his heart and the vision becomes his vision. We're just privileged to see it. We're privileged to hear it. We're privileged to follow it. Vision is so powerful for us. It's so key. I think about what vision does in my life to help me grow and to help me stay focused on the purpose of what I'm called to do. Because see, you know, like, you know, I felt this morning as I just wrote it on here in real big letters for somebody, you know, and it's like, it says, you made the team. And a lot of times people sit on the bench thinking like, I'm on the team, but I'm a bench warmer. And we sit there and it's like, man, it'd be great to get in. I remember playing basketball. I wasn't very good. I know what the bench is like. It's horrible. You know, you're sitting there and you're like, "Oh, I could do that. Oh, man, I've watched Michael Jordan dunk. I could do that if I could get some lift. You know, if I could get, yeah, I just, you know, I can't dunk. But anyway, I wish I could. I can, in my mind, I can see it. I haven't been able to break the laws of gravity and things to make it happen. But you know, you sit on the bench and you watch everybody, and it's like, this is frustrating. And I find a lot of Christians choose to go sit on the bench and watch everybody, and they're sitting there like, oh, I wish I could play. I wish I could do that. See, Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And a lot of times people forget that he said, and behold. They forget that he says, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is our position on the bench. And I say this as an encouragement where we're going. I'm not trying to be harsh or anything. Trust me, I love everybody here. But this is what a lot of us do is we sit here and we're like, wow, when the Spirit of God gets me, when the gold dust is on me, when my hands are on fire, you know, when I get the word, when Mark gives me the prophetic word in front of everyone, you know, then I'm in the game. Sorry. And behold, who? Jesus is with you always to the very end of the age. Faith without works is dead, the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And see, vision, we got to get from the Lord. We've got to be hearing because he's with us. See, earlier this year, I was in Australia, and I had the privilege of speaking at our church, and the pastor asked if I'd bring a word for the year, and I was singing a lot about the story of Gideon. You know, we know the story of Gideon, 20,000 army. It's awesome. But Gideon was a little like, this is going to be a tough battle with 20,000. And the Lord's like, I know, let's get you down to 10. He takes the foolish things of the world, he takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. What? We're weak at 20. Yeah, I know, you need 10. Whoever has fear. Gideon's having a bad day, right? And then what happens? 300. And 300 gets, the army gets sifted from 10,000 down to 300. Why? Because they get down on their hands and knees and they drink from the water. They let go of their sword, which was their mission. And as they do that, the Lord sifts the army. Now he's down to these 300. You know, I think that's so much like after this pandemic that we've been through. We look around and we feel like, hey, God, we've been 20,000. Oh, man, we're down to 10. Shoot, we're down to 300, God. Any of you feel that way? Man, I'm in a mission where, we were looking to the right and the left, and it's like, whoa, where'd everybody go? And see, right now, we're in this season and this time. It feels like we're the 300 again. You know, I go to a lot of churches in Australia, and it's like, I talk to people, and they're like, where's all the young people? Nobody knows. I don't know. You know, in our mission, we watched so many people leave during the pandemic because, you know, the world changed, and it's like, we feel so reduced. But you know what the good news is that God started to work supernaturally with Gideon. And the Midianites saw this, you know, this vision of this big barley loaf rolling down the hill. You know, and the barley loaf, it was like something very ordinary, very plain. It wasn't like something special, not like a fancy croissant rolling down the hill. Okay? It was a barley loaf. It was ordinary. It was plain, simple. Such a picture of God's people. We're ordinary, simple people who fall in love with Jesus. And then we allow the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead to live in us. Cha-ching. And the Midianites freak out. But see, there's another part of the story which was quite interesting, and I was captivated by this, and it was, you know, like, you know, Gideon, he's like, oh, far out. Sometimes you go into battles with the Lord, you know, to do things, and you feel like, well, you never feel like Gideon, far out. That guy had a tough gig. But it's just like, you know, he goes into battle, and it's like, yeah, leave your weapons. Take your trumpets. Take your fire. Take your jars. Awesome God. How many of you would be like, woohoo, praise the Lord, we can take our trumpets? YWAMers would. We'd be like, can we take the guitar at least, God? I'm not a YWAMer who plays guitar. But anyway, there's a lot of us who do, and it's pretty funny. I'll just go down a little rabbit trail with you because it's relevant. We went out one night to do evangelism in Australia, and I was late to the meeting because I was busy all day. I had to run home, take a shower, and come back. And as I came back, everybody paired up to do evangelism for the night. But I was left with these two girls. They're musicians. And so they'd already prayed, and they said, "Hey, we felt like the Lord said we're supposed to go out and worship tonight." I'm like, "Oh, man, seems weird." Like, yeah, it looks really creepy. You know, here's this old guy with two 18, 19-year-old girls out on the street singing guitar, the three of us, you know. And I'm just like, "Oh, man." And I'm stressed. I'm like, I don't sing on key. There's nothing musical about me at all. And they're like, "We felt that this is what we're supposed to do." And I'm like, "Great. I don't have a witness to that, but great." So we go out and So we go down to town, and like many musicians, they get out of the car, they get their guitar, and they start doing the ding, 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 you know, the tuning of the guitar. And I'm like, "Oh, Lord, this is going to be miserable." And I looked to the right of me, and there was a guy cooking out of the back of his van. I walked over to him, and I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I was just started chatting with him. And it was the grace of God. I ended up getting into this conversation with this guy all night long and didn't have to sing songs with these girls. But it was funny because as I'm sitting there, as I'm sharing with him, I'm talking to this man about Jesus. And he was a man from Europe who loved the Lord. Well, he used to love the Lord. And some things went bad in his life, and he decided to run. He decided to go to Australia and just give up on God and just live life for himself. And here he is talking to me, and I'm talking to him. And that night, the Lord just led us into this really cool conversation. And I said to him, I felt like the Lord wanted to do more. This is late Friday night. I said, "Do you like coffee?" He's like, "Yeah, I like coffee." I said, "I know the best coffee in town. Let's go get a cup of coffee tomorrow. I'll meet you at 2 o'clock. And so that night I went home, and as I went home, I felt like the Lord said, "You need to ask him about his destiny." And I was like, "Wow, okay." And so I went, and I went up to our office there. I took a book from the office it's one of Lauren Cunningham's book, "Is That Really You, God?" And it's about, you know, hearing the voice of God and following the call of God in your life. I was like, as I started to talk to this man, he just started to share with me. He's like, I prompted him the question. I said, what do you feel like the vision is for your life? Like, what do you feel like, you know, is there?" And he says, you know those mission organizations that have those medical ships?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've heard of those." He's like, "I always wanted to do one of those. I always wanted," he studied to be in the medical world, and he wanted to go be a missionary on a medical ship. Why, when we have medical ships? And so I sat there and I talked to him. I pulled out the copy and I gave him a copy of this book. I said, "You know what, as you travel, you know, you need to read this." And I told him, you know, I was just sharing with him about how God just coordinated everything, you know, for him to be there. Pretty special, I find. I don't know what, I know, you know, this was before I had Facebook, and so I don't, never fell, didn't follow up with the guy. But, yeah, it's pretty amazing how God works and how he coordinates. And here's a guy who had a vision, started running from the vision, and then here I am with this man, bringing him back to the call that God had for his life, giving him the opportunity. Anyway, but going back to Gideon, go in with these trumpets. It's that picture of worship, hey. That picture of fighting the Lord's being in the Lord's army, fighting battles for him. Again, our battle's not against flesh and blood, so don't think that. It's, you know, spiritual. And then it's like, take your fire. Where's the fire at in our lives? Yeah, that one, I see that. It's like, okay. And then I think about these jars, taking jars into battle. Pretty odd, okay? Well, not to God, but to me it's odd. You know, you take these jars. You got fire, you got these jars, but then there was something that the Lord had him do, and that was to break the jars. And I think about the little bit of symbolism there, and I think about our lives. You know, it's like a jar is a measurement. It has a limited capacity. You know, and I just think about that so much in our own lives. See, often we limit our vision to what we feel like we can do. And I think like God wants to break what our ideas of our capacity can be like. You know, I look at the things that God's given us to do, things he's put on our plates to stretch us, to expand us. And it's like, I feel like a jar. And I have to say, God, this is my capacity. But you know what? You're pretty amazing. I'll break my jar. I'll break the limitations that I put on myself because I know who you are. And so I think when it comes to vision, you know, it's like often we limit ourselves in what we can do because we don't actually look at what God can do through us. I was talking to a YWAM friend of mine just recently, and he was talking to me about, he was working through his base with a few things, and, you know, he said, you know, there's a lot of churches out there, and there's a lot of mission organizations out there that are filled with people that are faithful. But faithful churches aren't necessarily churches full of faith. Ministries are not full of faithful people are not necessarily ministries full of faith. It's like, you know, look around, you know, I look around and there's a lot of churches out there with a lot of faithful people who've been faithful for 50, 60 years to show up, to do the service, to clean up, to go home. But they haven't had faith to reach their community and their churches are now empty of young people. They're empty of the next generation because they haven't had faith and vision for that. They've been faithful to show up. They've been faithful to contribute. They've been faithful to keep the lights on. And in our own mission, we have that as well. We can have that. I'm not saying it's just churches. It's our own organization can have that. And we're kind of known like, kind of like used to be, I don't know, people call us all kinds of things, wild, crazy, whatever. I remember we were at a YFM conference one time, and this pastor comes up to speak, and he had a boom mic in front of him, and the boom mic fell from here down to his belly. And he's like, wow, YFM, you guys are really serious about getting the vision. You know, vision comes from your soul, anyway, and hearing God. And so, anyway, that was just kind of funny. But I want to encourage you, like, as you start to think about vision, like, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Is it just to do what you can do? Or is your faith to the place where you're saying, God, I can see you doing this? Vision is just so important for us. It's not that we chase vision for the sake of vision. It's because we want vision because we want his heart to reflect our heart. And he's crazy about this world. He's crazy in love with his creation. And he's desiring all people to come back to him, to get to know him. You know, and I think about, you know, our lives and how blessed we are. How great it is to have relationship with Jesus. You know, I think about that story and, I wrote it down. Anyway, you know, I think about when David wanted the Ark of the Covenant back in Jerusalem. We know the story from Sunday school. You know, they take the Ark of the Covenant, they put it on the ox cart, it's transporting back to Jerusalem. As he's transporting it back to Jerusalem, the ox, there's a stumble and the Ark starts to fall off of the cart. Uzzah reaches out, stabilizes the Ark of the Covenant. What happens to him? Smoked. He's dead. David's stressed. He's like, how do we deal with this? What do? They take the Ark of the Covenant. They leave it at Obed-Edom's house. Obed-Edom's house, they leave the Ark of the Covenant in his land, in his property. And David goes away, and 3 months later, he sees the Ark, and he sees Obed-Edom's house. He sees everything that he has is blessed. Everything around him is going crazy. He's like, we've got to get this back to Jerusalem. It was the presence of the Lord. You know, it wasn't so much, I mean, the ark was pretty cool and all, but it has to do with symbolism of the presence of the Lord. And what's amazing about it was Obed-Edom, he wasn't a Jew, he wasn't an Israelite. He was a Gentile. And the Ark of the Covenant went and it landed in his land. It landed in his home. And it says everything about his household got blessed. See, so many times we just want the blessings of God in these four walls. But see, we're like to be the Ark of the Covenant. We carry the presence of God. We're to go find ourselves and nestle up against Gentiles. Right? Now, obviously Gentiles are people who weren't Jews. You know, we see in Romans, especially in Romans, Paul going to the Gentiles. But, you know, it's for people who don't have Christ. You know, we're to go nestle ourselves up against and bring blessing to them. That's part of the vision. You know, where has God placed you in society? Are you being a blessing there? Are you letting the presence of God go through you? Now, I'm not saying you have to get all weird and wacky, but you've got to get the vision and you've got to get the strategy of why God has put you there. You know, I look around, there's a lot of empty seats. I think you can get some of your coworkers in here. You can get some of your neighbors in here. You can get your family in here, but get a vision. As you get the vision, you start to pray. You start to intercede. You start to ask God, God, how do we reach these people? That's a lot of people ask, like, how do you do it? It's just like, it's just love. It's just loving Jesus. I don't want to sound prideful, but it's just, we just get God's heart for people. We get God's heart for the city. We get God's heart for the nations, and we just start following what he's doing. It's pretty simple. Okay, like, you know, you can come do training with us, but that's the heart of it, to know God and to make him known. It's to fall in love with him and let his love transform you to where you are now not operating out of this selfishness, but you're living selflessly for the king. And you're finding yourselves in places of society to be a light, to be a blessing. But then there's some people here, you're called to go and get up out of here. Somebody I told this week said, I got to warn you, we're going to raise up some more missionaries. Got to support some more here, okay? But listen, God's calling us to the nations. I tell you what, the opportunities that are out there right now, the things that God is doing right now is exciting. It's exciting. As I was flying over here across the Pacific, I was just rejoicing in my heart to come to America. I was rejoicing to come to Colorado. I was rejoicing to come here to see what God is doing, because God is moving here as well. And God is moving around the world. But there's people here that you got to understand. If your assignment's Pagosa Springs, then I see a lot of people here who should be bringing in a lot of people to the kingdom. I'm not an evangelist, you say. I'm not either. Disclaimer. People think I'm an evangelist. No, I just love God. You know what? And I'll go out, I'll do evangelism. I'll share the gospel with people because it's who he is. I want to love people. I want to see people in the kingdom. And I just, as I come back to Pagosa, I think so much about this location, this place. You know, Lisa Hager, I don't think she's here today. But I remember going over to her house. Her and Mark would sit around and the dining room table and just preach to me about going to all the world and preaching the gospel, you know. You know, and I just remember, you know, coming into this place and just seeing, being championed by, you know, the elders, Jim and Mark at the time. You know, I don't know anybody else if they're around when I was a young guy. You know, and just being championed. I just want to encourage you, you know, if you see somebody here, you know, if you start to hear somebody, you know, young, you know, I think about, you know, Rory was saying, I don't know how many people there was, you know, has gone off into mission. I don't know how many people has gone into missions in the last 26 years. It's incredible. It's so unique. And I just want to tell you, if there's something in your heart that's leaping this morning, it's about like, yeah, I want to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Hey, just say yes. Just jump into it. You don't have to, I mean, you do need to hear the Lord, but you don't have to like do a 20-year plan of waiting on the Lord. Okay? We were taught in our mission by a lady, Joy Dawson, that delayed obedience was disobedience. And I find so many times that you know, as we delay our obedience to the Lord, we actually disobey and we actually miss the season and the time that he actually has for us to get something done. See, I look at vision and it's like sometimes our vision is like so far off in the future and it's so delayed that we're actually so far in the future, we don't actually prepare for it. It's like, oh, well, when I retire, I'll do this. And it's like, you don't even worry about, some people don't even worry about the vision. And it's like, then they show up to that moment, it's like, now what? It's like, oh, now I got to get the vision. Now I got to understand. Now I got to prepare. Man, we get prepared now. We seek the Lord. We say, like, I can't wait to see what he has for me. It's like, you know, I think about vision and it's like, you got the vision to drive to Florida. Great. You know, and it's like, we got to get the details of what God has. You know, it's like we can look big picture and we can be like way out there daydreaming, or we can be way out there with, we can see the thing that God has for us, but we're like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to go all the way to Florida, but we're going to stop at Bucky's. That's the vision. You know, like, and it's like, sometimes we can get like, so like, yeah, just, you know, when the kids finish school, then we'll look. It's like, well, what are we modeling to our generation? What are we modeling to our children? I have 5 kids. It's really blessed. I'm really blessed that you guys have supported us and helped us. We have 5 kids following us all over the world. You know, I just laugh at my kids. I didn't know, like, Singapore was a country until I was, you know, probably in my 20s. You know, now my kids know where it is on the map because they fly through it or whatever. But, you know, we're really blessed to see our oldest son who's turning 21. He's working with us. He had the opportunity to go serve in other places. And he's like, Dad, I want to come work with you. And it's like, wow. So now I get to have, I'm his boss and his dad. It's kind of weird, you know. And then my daughter now, she's like off doing a DTS. She's going to find herself over in Southeast Asia here very soon. And it's like the country she's going to. She had another country she could go on to. I'm like, wow, you're going to that one? Awesome, you know. And I'm excited to see what God's doing, you know. But, you know, we've been very, you know, very intentional about modeling to our children. Our family, it obeys the Lord. Our family, we obey the Lord. We see the vision that God has for us. We bring it before our children. We say, hey, guys, we feel like God's calling us to Turkey for a season. Hey, guys, we feel like God's calling us to go be in Papua New Guinea on the medical ship for a season. Hey, guys, God's just called us to go pioneer Melbourne. We bring our kids through it because they're part of the vision. So don't, you know, so I see a lot of people who say, well, you know, just use their kids as the crutch to say, I'll follow Jesus in the vision that he has for my life when the kids are done with school and when they're all set up. But then they make babies, and then, you know, because they get married and they have babies, and it's like, well, I got to do the grandparent thing, and I'll do it when the kids get, and then it's just this cycle. You've got to obey the Lord. You can't disobey the Lord. You can't delay your obedience, okay? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. As you trust the Lord, as you follow him, he brings all things together. He works all things together for good. You know, I look at my mom who used to be here many years ago. She, as some of you know, she did the children's ministry, and she did her discipleship training school at 60 years old. I came back from YWAM, and we were driving from Albuquerque back up here. And I was telling her all the stories, and she started crying in the car. As she's crying in the car, she says, Jeremy, she's just like, man, this is just, she was just moved by the testimony of what she heard God doing in my life. And then when I went to Turkey shortly after, she went over to Australia and did her own DTS. And then she lived here in Pagosa. She raised up a lot of young people, a lot of you that are in this room. She's raised up, and she committed her life to young people and training them in the ways of missions. And a lot of you went into missions. And when my mom died, it was so sweet and precious because so many people wrote on Facebook, they thought she was a lifelong missionary. But no, God redeemed the time in her life to where her last years on this planet, she was known as a missionary. She was known as somebody who followed God with a fire in her heart. And I just want to tell you today, like, you've made the team. You've made the team. You're not on the bench. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in you. So get engaged. Get into the call. Get into the purpose that God has for your life. Don't delay, because you know what? We're going to stand before a king. We're standing before the king. Standing before the king. And we get to give account for our lives. You know, we want to stand before him ready to give an account. Not, oh crap, this is going to suck. This reality. Some people are going to, not going to be a fun day. For me, I can't wait to see the king. And I can't wait to see the king. We're going to show him the fruit. We're going to bring him all that he's, you know, all the things he's done in our lives. You're going to say, look at how we stewarded the Holy Ghost in our lives. That temple that you made me, we brought people to your house, God. Come on, you can do this. It's not, I'm from Pagosa. I grew up here. I didn't know a whole lot of stuff. But you know what? I allowed God to touch my heart. I allowed him to transform me. I let him break my heart for the lost to where it was so overwhelming because his passion for the lost is so strong. And I remember being in this town just crying for the lost, saying, God, I'll go. I can't commit my life to anything else but to bring people to your kingdom. It's just what I had to commit myself to because I saw his heart. And I couldn't do anything else but say, God, there's nothing in this world that I can commit my time to that is better served than to bring people into your kingdom. Because your grace is so powerful. Your love is so great. I can't deny this call. You cannot deny the call. You cannot deny the call that God has in your heart. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm being very vulnerable with you because he said, and behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is with you. Do not wait and say, one day when the anointing comes on me, when I feel the Spirit, then I'll do it. No, take the promise, he's with you. Take the promise, he's with you now in this moment. He's with you now. Not tomorrow, not when we worship. He's here now. And he will be with you tomorrow. He'll be with you with the next step, and the next step, and the next step. It's his promise. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. It doesn't matter where you're at. I tell you what, you can ask some of the people in the home groups, man,
been through some tough times lately. But you know what? You can ask Mark. He'll tell you this story. I can't say it on, anyway. Just went through a situation, and it was tough. There was a test in my life. I said, I have to go because I have to get a well done, that good and faithful servant. That is the goal of my life. The vision on my heart is I want to stand before the King. I want to stand before him and hear, well done. Well done, Jeremy. You welcomed into this kingdom. He's already welcomed me. I'm a son. You're a son. You're a daughter. You need to get more altitude in this air, more oxygen in this. I love you guys. Get the vision. You know, 1 Corinthians says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can fathom the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Love. It's where vision comes from. Love. I would have never guessed the things that I've been able to see, witness, and experience. I couldn't have dreamt it. I couldn't have come up. I'm only 46. I'm not giving a retirement speech here. I'm at the middle age crisis thingy in life. I'm not having one, but I'm just saying that's my age bracket. There's so much more that I look forward to. I feel like I'm just starting to grow up in the kingdom. I feel like God is changing, turning the page on us. I feel like we're stepping into things. I've been stepping into things that I've not seen before. Part of being a son is I'm a student. I'm always growing. I'm always learning. My eyes have seen so many wonderful things. You know, I laugh. It's just, I can't believe that, you know, I was driving through the parking lot over here at City Market. I remember when they built that. Felt like we were the gang that owned it on our bicycles. The parking lot, not the... Anyway, I remember riding our bikes through there, doing all kinds of stuff late at night. I fathom at the things that God has given us opportunity to. The privilege of seeing people into the kingdom. The privilege of seeing the multiplication happening now in ways. It's just amazing. Yeah, I remember being at a meeting one time, and this girl comes running up to me crying and screaming, and she's like, Jeremy, you prophesied that I would see miracles out of my hands, and I did. And I'm like, wow, you know, like, just seeing fun stuff. It's fun. I never dreamt it. I never knew it. But I aligned my heart to the Lord. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can fathom the things that God has in store for those who love him. Yeah, you can think, well, that's when we get to heaven. Well, I'm sorry, I'm eternal. I'm made in the image and likeness of God, and I allowed my spirit to be redeemed, and he made all things new, and I'm a new creation in him, and I'm living for eternity. So, I don't know, eternity doesn't start whenever I kick the bucket. It's already started. No eye has seen. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. No heart can fathom the things that God has prepared for you. Those who love. So, vision, love, comes out of a place of love. Make it real simple for you. I'll give you 2 points. The other one is faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. You know, people can come up with vision and have all these random ideas and stuff. But, you know, we really want to get the Lord's vision. We want to get the Lord's vision because we're part of his kingdom. And we want to be, I just want to be available because to me, that's the best way I feel like I can convey my love to the Lord. Like, everybody has their own personal relationship. I'm just talking about me. My love language is giving gifts. My wife's going to have lots of gifts when I get home. I'm like always like, hey, she'd like that. Okay. Yeah, she'd like that. Okay. I love to give gifts. My relationship to the Lord is the same. But what can you give him? The only thing he desires is a heart. Just wants our heart. Him. wants your heart. He's jealous for you. So lean into that. Get the vision. Get his vision for your life. You're not on the bench. You're in the game. Same Spirit raised Christ from the dead, living in you. Cha-ching. Right? Cha-ching. All right. It's very spiritual. It's a old Hebrew something or other, meaning awesome. No, it's not. Yeah. You made the team. Well, I'd love to pray for you. I don't know. I think I've been rebellious and went over time. I'll repent. But if it's all right, I'd love to pray for people. And yeah. I can't convey how much gratitude our family has for this church. We love you. And I come here today. I hope you feel encouraged. I do not come to rebuke you. I do not come to stir the pot and light some fires. And help us all fall in love with Jesus more. We're all on this journey together. You encourage me. I look around this room and I don't want to take our eyes off the Lord, but I think, you know, as Chris had me come up this morning and talk about the generations, you know, if it's okay, part of our worship is honoring, you know, and I had dinner last night with your daughter and son-in-law and Jim and Nancy, and I just brought it up a couple times, you know, just how you were just such a key person in my life. I just remember looking up to you so much as a young man in ministry. And, you know, and I just, every time I go to see Jim, there's a fire in that man. He's always bringing some revelation and something new that he's learning and growing in God. So I honor you, Jim. You've been a key person, not in this church, in the kingdom. In this geography, you've been key. I remember showing up to a conference down in Tucson. You were there. Dude's hungry. Hungry. Now, Mark, I can't think of a man. Like, when I think of worship and I think about the worship that's been up here and how you've prepared the way for the heart of worship. And you've modeled such a beautiful heart of humility and worship over the years. There's this business incredible depth, and I look around, and I don't mean to miss people. I'm just thinking, you know, what I've seen over the years, and Clint and Lisa taking on that call to set the captives free. You know, there's great faithfulness in this room, but there's been great faith. And again, I don't mean to make it awkward. I look, so many beautiful people here. We have so many beautiful journeys, and I don't mean to be disrespectful and not highlight everybody. You have something so unique in this church. It's Jesus. He's here. So I want to pray. If you're here this morning and you're like, you know what? I want to get the vision. I want to pray with you. I want to pray. When I say I want to pray with you, I want to stand with you. I want to champion what God is speaking to you and what he's putting in your heart. And let's fight principalities, whatever it is, to see you flourish. Because I see some fires. I see some jars maybe on top of some fires that just need to, like, let's break out that capacity. Let's let this get a little bigger, right? Is that okay? So I'm going to pray for everyone, and then if you want to come down for prayer, I'm here all day. I don't have much on my schedule today, so we can be here until nighttime. I don't care. I always joke, though. I find myself praying for people, and I often find when I get hungry, you know, like if it goes way past lunch, you start finding yourself getting a lot of pictures of food, and then it's like, okay, God, we gotta, like, really stay focused.
I keep getting hamburgers for people? And why do I keep seeing chicken nuggets or whatever? Anyway, just kidding.
But no, I'd love to pray for you in all seriousness. But yes, but Lord, I just want to pray right now over this church. Lord God, you know what a privilege it is, Lord Jesus, to stand here. I still feel like a young man. Maybe it's an identity crisis. I don't know. But I feel young at heart. I feel like a young boy impressed with his father. Yeah, and I don't want to grow out of that. I'm going to stay impressed with Daddy. Because I want faith. And God, I just pray over this church this morning. I pray over us that we would have faith. I pray that we would have faith, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the generations that are here. As I look, you know, as we highlighted a few of the older ones here, and I thank you for the younger generation, some young and some not so young, but, you know, just look at, yeah, just seeing Rory out there and seeing Justin and seeing how you've brought nations. We got our Filipino group here, and I just see, like, it's just so much like, you know, you think about the upper room and, you know, you got the Edwards who've come here from Mexico and bring this anointing that's come from Mexico up into Pagosa. You got the nations that are coming here. I don't know all the nationalities that are here, but wow. There's a room with 120 people a couple thousand years ago. There was a lot of tongues represented. There was a lot of generations represented. Some hearts got hungry. Some hearts stayed faithful. Some hearts had faith to say, well, Jesus told us just to go to this upper room and wait. And we're here. And the Holy Ghost showed up. He blew amongst the people. Lit them on fire. And they went out and they changed the world. Father, I just pray right now over this room. Lord Jesus, you have started changing the world through people in this room. But there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. So, Father, I just pray right now, this morning, God, as we're posturing our hearts before you. God, give us a vision. Speak to us about our assignments. Speak to us about the call that you've stirred up in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Let us have your vision. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. It's not about your kingdom, it's about his kingdom. His kingdom, his kingdom, his kingdom.